Last 2 weeks, God's been having me talk to the Bosnians at their home, and they all just gather like it's Christmas, and they're waiting. And I show up, and I start talking to them, and I'm there an hour and a half, which God tells me just, I call that a short time. He said, just go there for a short time. So I go there for an hour and a half, and I get ready to leave, and they don't want me to leave. They're begging me to stay. And we're talking about Jesus, and we're reading the Bible together, and one of the reasons that these Bosnians that we know, because all Bosnians are not like this group, one of these reasons these Bosnians are like they are is because of those two people back there. Okay? Fahim and Hakna. I'm going to get that. And they have taught their kids, and their whole idea is, they have these ideas they got from the Bible. They don't even know that they got them from the Bible. About honoring the parents, not like America. About not stealing, being hard workers, being respectful, being humble, being honest, not commit adultery. And as I'm talking to them, and God had me say this to them yesterday. I'm sorry, but I just feel like I'm supposed to share this with you. Because if you know what's going on, there are so many people in this world, in this Grand Rapids area. I don't know if you know this, but so many people, the majority of them are going to hell. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart that the majority of people I see when I drive through McDonald's, this girl's may end up in hell. There's a good chance. And that person behind her, filling my large sweet tea with no ice, she may end up going to hell and wish that I could just dip the tip of my finger and cool her tongue, for she's going to be tormented in that flame. And I don't want anyone to go there. And as I'm talking to these Bosnians, and I said to them yesterday, why, and I'm saying this to you, this isn't even part of my message, this is all just, I got to get this out of my system so I can preach, okay? Why do you believe what you believe? Why do you believe what you believe about life, about sin, about heaven, about hell? Why do you believe what you believe? Now, this dad has raised these kids, and they are tender-hearted. And yesterday, while I'm talking to them about heaven and hell and the things of God, the dad says, I wish, he's got three of his kids here, Alan the mouth. I'm sorry, did I say that? And Mersada, and Mirnes. And the dad, while I'm talking to them, the dad says, I wish my son in Bosnia was here to hear what you're sharing. And his tears are running down his face. We had to stop because this dad is crying for his son. And as I challenge them, why do you believe what you believe? And he goes to his daughter, and his daughter comes to me today and says, thank you for giving us these... Thank you for... Is it one of these? No. One of these. Thank you for giving us this Bosnian Bible. She says, but my dad can't see this little print. And somebody else said that to me yesterday. I can't see this little print. Could you help me get a Bible with print big enough that I could read? Because yesterday I challenged them, where are you getting what you believe? I said, all these things you believe, a lot of them are good things, but where did you even get them? Because some of the conclusions, just like with you, some of the conclusions that they've come to are not right. Their choices are right. Their hearts are tender to truth, tender to God. But some of the conclusions that they've come to, are you saying all this? Some of these conclusions that they've come to, if you were to die, where would you go? I'd go to heaven because I'm a good person. Is that why people go to heaven? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Does anybody go to heaven because they're good? I want you to get this saying. I want you to get this. Good people go to hell. And bad people go to heaven. Because if you think you're good and you don't need Jesus, if you think you can get to heaven without Jesus because you're good, you're going to spend eternity separated from God. But if you realize I have nothing in my hands to bring except the blood of Jesus, I have nothing to offer you, God, except Jesus on the cross for me. You can't get there. And yet there's good people all around us. Maybe better, way better than I am. As far as if we're looking at their lives and they're tender-hearted and kind and giving and generous but humble hearts. And because of that, they're in the way. It's like Acts chapter 10. That's what I call them. It's Acts chapter 10 people. They're people that are walking in the light they know. They're trying to get to God. They're moving in the light what they understand so far. And because of that, God sent an angel to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 while he's in the midst of praying. And he says, Cornelius, hey guy, what you're doing, God's taking notice of. And because of that, you need to have somebody tell you more of how to get to God. And so the dad, who's helped to produce all these tender hearts, these awesome people. Yesterday the dad realizes, I need to start reading that Bible. I need to see what God has to say. Now, God's getting ready to send me to three countries that I can't even fathom what's getting ready to happen. But I'm already being humbled because we are so full of pride. I am so full of pride. But we... In Isaiah 6, Isaiah said, woe is me, a man of unclean lips, in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Woe is me. Bad results, because I'm full of pride, but I'm in the midst of a land of people full of pride. And the kingdom of God is a kingdom of humility. I don't want pride. I don't think you want pride. Because if you did, you wouldn't stay around here so long. Unless you're just a glutton for punishment. I don't know. But you are people who want God. And what I want us to do right now is to just pray and tell God, I don't want pride and I don't want my way. Is that right? That's your heart? God, I don't want pride. And God, I don't want my way. And that's usually how I live and think every single minute of the day. But I don't want that, Lord. I need you. I'm asking you. I'm begging you. I don't even deserve it, but I'm asking you to forgive me. I want to have your heart. I want your way. I want you to have your way in my life. I want you to be honored in my life and not when I stand before you and you go to replay my life like as if it was a video. You went to replay my life and I would be ashamed at my choices, at the thoughts and intents of my heart, at what I was after. Because God, it's you, Jesus. You are high and lifted up. You are exalted. There is no other name like your name. And I want to be like you. And I need you to come and forgive me of my sin. You are on the cross for me. There's your blood. And I ask you to forgive me. And I thank you that you loved me, God, so much that you created yourself a body so you could become one of us, so you could take my sin upon you and die in my place. And I am even unworthy to know your name. But you bid me to come and know you, to spend time with you. You want to come live inside of me, and then you want to live your life through me, but you want us to have sweet time together. And God, that is my choice. I want what you want. I want that. I want to be closer to you. So I invite you to reveal my sin, reveal my pride, reveal my self-righteousness, my self-confidence, reveal my selfishness. Whatever sin I have, reveal it. Because I want you to bring it to the surface. I can confess it and give it to you and ask you to remove it. Because I want you, Jesus. Now, Jesus, I want to tell you, I don't care if there's a few. Thank you for these few that want you. Thank you for these few that choose you. Thank you for these few that repeatedly make that choice that they don't want sin, but they want the Savior. And that they need you, Jesus, every minute of the day. And I just worship you and praise you and exalt you just for these few that you surround me with and encourage me. Thank you, Jesus. Open our hearts. Open our ears. We want to invite you to just break down any walls that would keep us from hearing what you want us to hear today. Because we want to hear completely. No distractions. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Now I bind Satan. And I just post angels all about this place as a hedge of protection so we could hear. And we just commit that in your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Please look in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. The title of this is The Few. And we're going to start with verse 12 through 14, please. Matthew chapter 7, verses 12 through 14.
Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
I want you to notice verse 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the strait gate. Enter in at the strait gate. There's two gates. There's a straight or a narrow gate, hard to get through. There is a wide gate. It says, enter in at the straight gate. Jesus is beseeching you today. Enter in at the straight gate. Because wide is the gate and broad is the way that the multitude is traveling in. Wide gate and broad is the way, and where does it lead? To destruction. Look at the verse. I didn't write it. Jesus is talking. Enter ye in at the straight gate, because wide is the gate, and then broad, once you get through that gate, there's many ways to go to hell. But there's only one way to get to heaven. I'm not turning there, but if you want to look in John chapter 10, like the first 9 verses, Jesus says that He is the door, He is the way, and if you try to come any other way, that you're the same as a thief and a robber, and God's not going to let thieves and robbers into heaven. And in John chapter 14 and verse 6, He makes it even more clear. He says, I am the way. He is not a way. It's not a matter of being good. All the Buddhists are going to heaven because they're all good and trying to not hurt anybody. They won't even kill a cow. You know, the Hindus, they won't kill a cow, you know, holy cow. Okay? That's not funny. That's what they think. So they won't even... So I go to India. See, I expect to come back quite a less of a man than what you see today. I'm expecting to lose 50 pounds on this trip. Okay? That's what I'm expecting. I'm not going on it as a weight loss excursion. That's not what I'm doing, but I'm expecting... by what I'm hearing and what I keep feeling the Spirit is bearing witness in me, that that's what's going to happen. There's a reason when you see those people in pictures and stuff that they're all skinny. There's a reason. It's not because they have Vic Tannies over there, okay? And they're all doing all that. Jesus says, enter ye in at the straight gate. You, enter in at the straight gate. Because wide is the gate, and then even broader is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Years ago I asked God, help me to see people through your eyes. And God thought I meant it. So He answered that prayer. And when I see a person, who's interpreting to them? Okay, then please get a chair, turn around, and get over here and do it. Okay? This is important. When I'm over there, I want somebody interpreting. I don't want to be sitting there seeing somebody's lips move and not know what they're saying. I ask God, help me see others through your eyes. Years ago, and God started opening my eyes and helping me to realize that every single person is an eternal soul. And you are going to spend eternity somewhere. And it's what you do with Jesus. It's what you do with Jesus. Which kingdom are you living in? You could be trying to live in the kingdom of God and doing what's right and still end up going to hell. Because there's got to come a time when you realize, I cannot get to heaven without Jesus. I have to have Jesus to get in. But there are many people, the majority that you meet, that don't know Jesus. And I meet many of them who go to church who don't know God. Them all the time. Sincere people. Now let's say I'm in Hyderabad, which is a city in India where the preacher is going to pick me up. Okay? Or hopefully. Anyway, so let's say I'm in Hyderabad. Okay? And now it's time for me to leave. And one of my legs of the flight, they're going to fly me to Bombay. Then they're going to fly me to some other city in Kenya, Nairobi, I think, and then we're coming to Uganda, Kampala. Well, what if I'm in Hyderabad and I'm sincere as I could be, but I get on the wrong plane? Am I going to end up in the right place? But I was sincere. You could be sincere and go to hell. Do you understand? It's not a matter of being sincere. It's a matter of What gate are you walking through? Who are you listening to? What are you following? Do you have Jesus? Enter ye in at the straight gate. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way, which leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, Jesus said, that leadeth unto life. I want you to think about your life. Choices that you've made, they weren't life-giving. Many choices you've made. Let's look at your marriage. Let's look at your peace or lack thereof. Let's look at your joy or what you don't have, or how you try to get joy. You try to get joy doing all kinds of things. They may bring happiness, but they don't bring joy. They don't bring contentment. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. What if today somebody, we've already had people that were here in this, under the sound of my voice, and then a couple of days later, they went into eternity. We've already had people, even in the few. You remember Richard? Now what I'm going to say is, what if somebody walked out of this room today and went out into eternity? Where are you going to spend eternity? See, you could exist. You're breathing. You're hearing. You think you're seeing. But are you living? Or are you existing? God says, enter ye in at the straight gate. There's many ways to exist. One way to live. His name is Jesus. No ifs, ands, or buts. No other way. Unless Jesus is a liar, which He's not. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leads unto life. And the Bible says, and few there be that find it. Few. I want to go. Please, turn to verse 21. 21 through 23, please. Matthew 7, 21 through 23.
Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, but I know the name of Jesus. I went to Burning Bush. Don't I get to come to... I know Pastor Harvey. Jesus, won't you let me in? He said, I'm sorry, that is, thanks for playing, but not the right answer. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. So what if you died today? And I'm not talking about just because you're older, what if you're younger? What if you got in a car accident? What if somebody came off the road and hit you? What if, who knows? I don't know. You had a brain aneurysm. Pow, and you go out into eternity. Today, you, do you know God? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me, but I was on the leadership team. I knew how to cast out devils. I know how to prophesy. I did many wonderful things. I gave for the trip going over across seas. I did many wonderful things. And Jesus said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, sin, perverseness. And then he made this little statement. For I never knew you. Do you know Jesus? I'm not asking, do you know about him? Interpret. You ought to see this over there on Saturday. I get going. I'm standing up. I want to preach. Alan's over here. I say, go ahead. Say what I said in Bosnian. So they start saying what I said in Bosnian. And I'm standing there. And Alan's like, okay, everybody be quiet. Because you could tell he wants to say something. You know, and it's like, yes, I want to say something. But I want them to hear what I'm saying. And I will take, and if it takes me 100 Saturdays, I will take 100 Saturdays. Or whatever. Whatever. See, Alan the Mouth. Do you see where he got his nickname from? Okay. And I told him yesterday, it takes one to know one. Okay. I will take whatever time. I don't care. If I only am able to get half the message out this Saturday, we'll get the other half next Saturday. Because as God, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That all would know Him. It's not just knowing about Him. It's not just being good. It's not throwing horseshoes and getting close to the pen. God is the dead ringer. We've got to be one with Him. You've got to come to a place of realizing, I have nothing to offer. There's nothing I can bring except Jesus. I've got to have Jesus. And Jesus, please don't let me get what I deserve. I need you. I need you. Verses 24 through 27, please. Matthew 7, 24 to 27.
Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it.
A wise man built his house upon the rock. A wise man built his house upon the rock. A wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down, and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the sand went splat. I want you to listen to verse 24. Jesus said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, Jesus. He said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, does something with what they hear. Do not leave this place and do nothing with what you hear. God, what do you want me to do with this? You don't have to hear an audible voice. He doesn't need to have a big old sign fall out of heaven and say, here's your sign. Or talk like some hippie, like, here's your sign. Okay. In your spirit, in your belly, inside of you, in your heart, I don't care what you call it, but inside of you, you know what God wants for you. Whoever hears these sayings of Jesus and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And when, not if, when the floods and the winds came, you're going to have floods and winds come into your life. You're going to have pain. You're going to have misunderstanding. You're going to have financial reversals. You're going to have health problems. When they come, if you built your house on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about some WWF superstar who's now been in movies called The Rock. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you build your life on what He says, you're going to be a wise man. Not like Alan, not a wise guy. You're going to be a wise man. You're going to get converted, don't worry. Okay. But He says, if you hear these sayings and you don't do them, you're just coming here and you're hearing, Pastor Harvey, I've heard everything you said. I already know it. What are you doing with it? Is it alive in you? Look at your life. Where's Jesus? You don't see Him? You're not sure? You think He's there? Ask somebody near you. Like I told you, when that preacher told me I never sin, I kept giving him the Word of God, kept giving him everything, and nothing worked. And I said, God, what should I try? He said, ask him if he's got a wife. Hey, guy, Pastor, you got a wife? Yeah. You got kids? Yeah. I said, and you never sin? No. I said, are your wife and your kids here? Yeah. I said, can we ask them if you never sin? All of a sudden, woo! His face went beet red like this. I mean it. Like, right now. And he thought his face was going to explode. Turned around, stomped his feet, and walked off. But for 30 minutes, he could stand there being self-righteous. I don't sin. I'm a good person. I'm the pastor. I keep every word in the Bible. I never sin. I'm perfect. What about what the Word has to say? Self-righteous, self-proclaimed righteous. I have arrived. I am the example of Christ. And it's all self-proclaimed here. I'm wanting everyone to know that I'm humble about it too. And I said, is that true? Yeah. Let's ask your wife. Oh no, truth's about to be exposed. I better run away. Jesus in your life. Jesus in your life. Are you hearing? What are you doing with it? Matthew chapter 13, please. 1 through 23. Matthew 13, 1 through 23.
The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow.
That means, let me stop you, please. That means a man, there was a farmer, who had a sack of seed, and he went forth to sow it or to plant it. Just so you know, we're not talking about a seamstress here. We're talking about somebody planting seed. Please continue.
And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Let me stop you. I want you to notice there's four soils here. There's four hearts, and you are one of these four hearts. You are one of these four hearts. You are a heart that's the wayside. See, it says every single person, every single soil receives seed. Everyone here today is hearing. Everybody here today is hearing. If you are a wayside heart, that means you're hearing, but you're hearing carelessly. The seed is sown. I want you to picture what heart you are. There's the wayside. There's the stony heart. Oh, please, let me have a stony heart, right? There's the thorny heart. And there's the good ground. There's the wayside, the stony place, the thorny place, and the good ground. Please, keep reading. I'm sorry. One more thing. So which heart, which ground are you? Ask God, which ground are you? And then listen to what He's saying. Verse 11, I believe it is.
And the disciples came and said unto Him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given.
Now, I'm sorry. It's given unto you, but unto them it's not given. Are you one of the you, or are you one of the them? Are you getting this, or are you missing this? Maybe you're distracted. Maybe your mind is somewhere else. Maybe you're talking about something else. Maybe you think you already know this. Jesus said, unto you it's given, but unto them it's hidden. Are you a you or a them? If you're missing it, you're a them. You don't want to be a them. Please keep reading.
For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is...
Hang on. Pastor Harvey, I want to be a you, but I think I'm a them. Because I'm hearing, but I'm not getting it. I'm hearing, but I'm not getting it. Then tell God, God, have mercy on me. Right this minute. God, have mercy on me. I want to get it. God, I don't want to go through this and miss it. You may miss your life. This may be the last opportunity you have to hear this. Because this is the first day of the rest of your life. This is going to affect today. Just today is going to affect the rest of your life. God, if I'm missing it, I feel like I'm missing it. Ask God right now, please help me to not miss it. I want to get this. Go ahead, brother.
And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, By hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them.
Verse 18.
Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30.
Everybody in this place knows that I care about you. Every single person in this place knows, because you've all told me. You know that I care about you. I care about your life and what is going to happen in your life. I care about your marriage. I care about your relationships. I care about your finances. I care about your health. I care about your decisions. I care about your attitudes. I care about your choices. I care about you. I must like you better than you like yourself. Because I wouldn't do to you what some of you do to yourselves. Did you hear what I just said? There's things that you do to yourself. I would not do them because I care about you. But you do them to yourself. In this passage, it says that everyone, every ground, which represents the hearts of people, every single ground heard, every single ground received seed. And then when it goes on to explain that, it says everyone, if you'll notice, every time it talks about a different ground, it says everyone heard. Anyone heard. Heard, listened, were exposed to the Word of God. But what do you do with the Word of God? How are you building? What are you building on? When I was talking to the Bosnians yesterday, and I said to them, I said, a lot of things that you're believing are true, and they're good. But are they going to get you where you're going? Do you know you have eternal life? Or are you trying? Well, God is God, and He gets to choose. But He's already made it clear in His Word. It's not us trying and saying, here's all the good things I've done. Here's all my good intentions. And God said, yes. That gets you into the way of God where you can hear. Because there's other people that aren't even listening. There's all kinds of people out there don't even care. They're busy with their life. They're not listening. They're not even exposed to truth. They feed on Hollywood. They feed on, what are those things called? Those things, you know? Oh, those things, you know? You thumb machines. You know what I'm talking about? Whatever, all those things. Whenever I drive down toward Kalamazoo, there's a betting place, whatever that thing's called, and casino. And whenever I go down that way and I look, that parking lot is full. Morning, noon, and night. I wonder who the guest speaker is. I didn't hear. I wonder what they're gaining from going there. They're supporting that place. And they want to tell you about one out of a million that wins some money. Yeah, all of you gave it to them, dum-dums. The people in our story, everyone heard. Everyone heard. But what kind of heart did they have to hear? What kind of heart did they have? What was in their heart? He said, your ears have waxed gross, meaning have gotten so thick you can't even hear. What are we doing with truth? When I was a youth director, we had about 50 teenagers, and God had me teach the book of Judges. I was like, Lord, why would you have me teach the book of Judges? But that's what He had me teach. You could go read in the Old Testament. What is that? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, see. Judges. Anyway. And some of y'all got it. Okay. The last verse in the book of Judges says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Why do you think you're going to heaven? Well, I've got my way. I've got what I think. He's got a way. She's got a way. He's got a way. Yep. I'm going to clean up all the junkyards. That's my way. Yep. Everybody's got a way. If you want to, go look in, not right this minute, but go look at Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25. There is a way. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Jesus said, you're hearing. You're taking the word in, but what are you putting the word into? What are you doing with the word? What kind of soil, what kind of heart are you allowing the word into? But I was in Burning Bush the whole time I grew up. I know all his sayings. I'd go around the country. These kids would learn all my sayings. You know, Janai went and spent the night with this girl one time, and the girl was like, telling her all these sayings that I had. We had been preaching in their church for a week. So she heard all these sayings. She said, Mom, I can't believe it. That girl knew every one of Dad's sayings. Just boop, 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 boop. So how did that help her? I knew all these sayings. But what are you doing with it? How is it helping you? Mark chapter 4, I believe it starts at verse 2 through 20. Mark chapter 4. Second book of New Testament. Mark chapter 4, verses 2 through 20. Are you there? Mark chapter 4, verses 2 through 20.
And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away.
I want you to notice verse 4. the seed fell on the wayside, and the fowls came and ate it. The birds came and ate it. I want you to notice the next one where it talks about the stony ground, the stony, the hard heart. I don't have a hard heart. Ask God if you have a hard heart. Is it hardened to the word? Is it hardened to someone speaking? Is it hardened to any other way but your way, your thoughts, your experience? Is it hardened? Does it receive the word? Because notice what happened when the seed fell on the stony ground. Immediately it sprung up. See, I'm excited. I'm all excited. How many people have we had come here? Oh, I love Burning Bush. How many people have you heard that, Roxanne? They come in here. Oh, I love Burning Bush. I love it. I love it. Oh, it's so wonderful. Oh, it's like that bank president down in Texas. Oh, this is so wonderful. Y'all actually use the Bible when you preach. You don't just read from the Reader's Digest or whatever it was they were using in the other church he was going to. You use the Bible. And you give a whole lot of scripture. Oh, it's wonderful. We love it here. We're going to keep coming. But it says it immediately sprung up. They got all excited. But it says as soon as the sun was up. Is it warm outside right now? Yesterday, I was waiting for somebody. I was sitting in my truck. I had the air conditioner running. I know Brother Steve doesn't think I need the air conditioner running over in Uganda, but I need it here in Michigan. And it was running. And I turned that fan up all the way, and it was just me in the truck, all the air running, right? High, cold. But I was sitting there, and the sun was beating in my window. I was sweating. If I was a woman, I would have been glowing. But men sweat. And I was sweating, sitting there with air conditioning that should have been freezing me out, because in a normal day, I can't have it going that high for very long, because boom. I mean, as soon as I get the heat on the truck, I have to turn it down because it's too cold. And yesterday, I couldn't get enough cold. Now, maybe Brother Steve would have been sitting next to me and pushing all the air toward me. It would have helped. But I didn't have anybody to help me get all that cold air to me, and it wasn't working because of the sun. So it says in that verse that the sun, when the sun comes up, how often does the sun come up? Think about it. When the sun comes up, it says the seed got scorched. When we read over in Luke in a few minutes, it's going to say that it didn't bring forth fruit because it lacked moisture. What happens when the seed is sown? I want you to notice in each one of these soils, when the seed is sown, what happens? In the second seed, it says it immediately sprung up. The second soil, it immediately sprung up. Oh, I love being here. Oh, it's so wonderful. But as soon as the sun comes up, as soon as there's any heat, as soon as the day waxes long, as soon as we get past all the, oh, I fell down, I was so exciting, a wonderful service. And we now have to go through the every day being faithful, every day doing what's right, every day serving others, every day, how do I deal with this person? It says as soon as the sun was up, the seed sprung up immediately. Boop! Oh, we're so excited. But now the sun comes up, which happens every day. And then it says it died. It couldn't handle the heat. Go on, brother. But notice the soil when he's reading it. What happens in this soil? Go ahead, brother.
And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit.
Verse 8.
And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables.
What does that word mean, without, in verse 11? But unto them that are without. What were they without? What were they without? What are you without? Go ahead, brother.
Unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them.
What does that word converted mean? What does converted mean? Wayne, I'm going to Uganda. Now, the Uganda shilling is different than the Kenya shilling. The Uganda shilling was 26,300, but the Uganda were needed for that one meeting. But the Uganda shilling was like, well, let's put it this way. The other day, Brother Steve sent $1,150 to his wife after he got some offerings, okay? Do you know how much $1,150 was in Uganda shillings? 2,900,000 blankety blank blank blank. Uganda shillings. Man, you got to be Arnold Schwarzenegger to carry money around there. You know what I mean? 2,900,000 shillings is $1,150 in American, you know, bucks. You know, not dear, but buck. You know what I mean? Dollars, U.S. dollars. What does it mean to be converted? I'm going to take my American money, I'm going to give it to a money exchanger, and they're going to convert it to Uganda shillings so I can spend money there. If you take your U.S. dollars into another country and you go to spend it there, you spend way too much because they don't know how to give you change because they need it converted to their money. So what does it mean in that verse? Except you be converted. Yeah, what does it mean? I say it loud.
From death unto life.
Ike, what are you doing? Reading the notes? You're doing so good there. What does it mean to be converted? It means for us to be changed completely, looking different, thinking different, not the same, usable in God's kingdom, able to fit in God's kingdom, where God could flow through us to reach others for Jesus. Thank you, brother. Keep reading. Where are we? What verse?
Verse 13.
Are we in verse 13?
We are.
All right. So, everybody else heard me that we're in verse 13? Go ahead, brother.
And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard...
When they have heard...
Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts.
RK, are you allowing snake breath? Are you allowing that dirty devil to take the word out of your heart? What are you doing with the word right now? Do you have it open in front of you? Are you looking at it? Are you thinking about it? Are you letting it dwell in you richly? Are you meditating on this? Or are you allowing the devil come and get distracted? Think about the little baby. Think about Emelina. I wonder what she's doing back there. I wonder what they're singing about, you know. Maybe I wonder what we're going to have to eat today. I know it's good Bosnian stuff. What are we going to have to... Are you allowing the devil to come and snatch the word out of you? Be careful how you hear. Okay, where were we?
Verse 16.
Thank you.
And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended.
What does that mean, they have no root in themselves? Somebody tell me. What does that mean? They have no root in themselves. I'm sorry? Foundation? What? Okay, they die. What does it mean, they have no root in themselves? What does that mean, Dave? What does that mean? They have no root in themselves. What does that mean, Tom? They don't have stability. What else, Wayne, don't they have? They have no root in themselves. That they have no way to get nourishment. So in other words, like they're not planted. They're not stable. They're not receiving nourishment. They have no root in themselves. They immediately got excited. Oh, isn't this wonderful? But they didn't last. Does it do any good? You're going to have a race. We all line up to have the race. We all get ready. God bless you. On purpose. And we're going to race. And one guy, he's doing all the exercises, you know, all this stuff. Okay? That's why I have to wear a shirt. But anyway, serious. God just has me insert humor, yo, just to help you. Okay? No, serious. And the guy gets up here and starts to run, and everybody's running. Everybody's looking at him and thinking, oh, why am I running? The dude's going to win. He's all muscle bound. He knows how to do all the right exercises. He seems to be physically fit. You know? But you start running, and he drops out. Does it matter what he looked like? Does it matter how he started? Or in the race, does it matter if you end the race? What do you think is important to Jesus? What do you think is important to Almighty God? Is it ending the race? Or just starting the race? So we've got a lot of people that come here and they start the race. But just give them a few weeks. You won't see them. It's ending the race. What are you hearing? What are you doing with what you're hearing? And in that verse, it talked about, where was that verse? They have no root in themselves. They don't have a way to get nourishment. They're not stable. They're not planted. They're not firm. You can't count on them. They don't have root. Oh, I'm so excited. Excitement comes and goes. I married Sue, and I didn't say, that preacher didn't say, will you marry her as long as it's all fun? What about when it's not fun? What about when she burns my food? What about when she tells me to wear my underclothes from yesterday because she didn't get them washed? What about when she hadn't brushed her teeth yet? It smells like my socks. I'm not picking on Sue. I'm saying stuff to be funny here to get your attention. I'll serve Jesus when everything's fun. Let's have a nice, wonderful service, and I told Brother Steve, I said, would you like to trade churches? Would you like to trade churches for a year? You just stay here at Burning Bush. I'll go over to Uganda for a year. I wish he'd call me up. I wish he'd touch me and I'd fall down. I wish it was all exciting. Great. That's great when that happens. What I'm saying is that what it's about? I was talking to Brother Nate before he came here. And part of the 4 years of talking to Brother Nate before he came here, I said, Nate, when you go to these churches that they invite you and you play your music and they're all like, oh, I love God. Or you pray for them and they all fall down. Oh, God was there. We all fell down. They did that in the Humpty Dumpty story too. Does that mean God was there? I asked Nate, I said, Brother, let me ask you a question. When you go back next week, what's different in their lives? How are they changed? Where's the life, the fruit of Jesus in them? Do you hear what I'm saying? Where's Jesus in their thoughts? Where's Jesus in their thoughts? They've been hearing it for years now, haven't they? What happened? Brother Nate started thinking about what God had me say to him. And he realized, I go from church to church every single day of his life. He played in a different church for 4 years and more. He's played in churches with tens of thousands of people. But God began opening his eyes and realizing, they say this is God. There's thousands of people here. They're all excited. But where's Jesus? It's shallow. There's no root. There's no fruit because there's no root. Because, yes, it's good to be stable. And yes, what'd you say? Nourishment. But guess what? When there's root in your life, there's going to be fruit. And there will not be fruit without root. Nothing produces fruit without a root. You've got to get planted. You've got to put down into this word and hold it. You got to think about it. You got to let it, Colossians 3:16, let it dwell in you richly. The word of God inside of you. Jesus Christ in print inside of you. Jesus Christ. I want Jesus. What does that mean? Jesus Christ inside of you. Because when all the stuff is happening in your life that you're going to go through, just like every other person on the planet, when you have Jesus, you're going to have peace. You're going to have strength. You're going to know inside that you're on your way to heaven. Not because you feel it or because you did something good, but it's because you have Jesus. And you're going to have a presence. Go ahead.
Verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100.
I believe it was verse 19. If you just want to look at those three things that stops growth in that soil, because there are things that have affected every one of us. But I know everyone in here wants their heart to be the last one, the good ground. Do you remember the commercial that said, the few? Let's see, how's it go? The few, the proud, the Marines. You remember that? You ever see that commercial? Anybody? Four of you? Good. Five, six of you. Well, what if Jesus ran a commercial and it said, the few, the humble, the Christians. The few. Is Jesus calling you? Is Jesus drawing you? Is Jesus loving you? Do you know Jesus wants you? You know they got that poster, Uncle Sam, I want you. They got it from Jesus. You know that, right? Same thing as State Farm, you know, or whatever it is. You're in good hands with Allstate. They got that from Jesus. I'm just wondering if you're willing to be part of the few. Are you willing to be part of the few? Are you willing to be part of the few? When you get a chance, when church is over, go look at John chapter 6 and notice how Jesus is comparing himself. He had fed a bunch of people. They're all following him. And he says, except you... See, there was a whole big crowd following Jesus. And he was like, well, let's find out who the few are. In the whole Bible, there's one book called Numbers, but there's 66 books. So let's get it in perspective. 1/66th of our focus ought to be Numbers. Okay? But so many churches... I meet preachers when I go somewhere. They want to know numbers. How many people showed up in your meetings? How many people go to your church? How many numbers, numbers, numbers? Jesus had a crowd, over 5,000. It said that was just the men, not including the women and the kids. And he said, then Jesus said, well, let's thin the crowd out. Let's find out who the few are. And he goes, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood... What is this guy, a cannibal? What is this guy talking about? Eat his flesh, drink his blood. You can't be one of mine. And his own followers, turn over to John chapter 6. We'll go to the end. It's around verse 64 or something like that. John 6. It's toward the end of the chapter. Look at verse 60. Look at verse 55. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Verse 60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Look at verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with Jesus. And then he turns to the 12 and he said, are you also going to go away? You could be in God's army, but I think He's calling you to God's Marines. What kind of heart are we receiving the Word in? God, search my heart. I want to be one of the few. I want to be one when everybody else is leaving. I want to be with you. And I'm not talking about who's here. Every church we've started, it was Sue and I, and usually Janiyah. We didn't have anybody else every time we started a church. I'm not worried about that. I'm talking about you and Jesus. You want to be one of Jesus' Marines? You want to be one of the few? That's where God's calling you today. One of the few. I love that verse where Jesus said, if two or three are gathered together in my name. See, we could start a church with Sue and I. We didn't need a crowd. If God shows up, you got church. You know what I'm saying? I told you, I was witness to a lady in her house one time where I was doing a tub, and I started letting God get loose, and I'm talking to her about Jesus, and I said, I feel like we just had church. She said, I bet you have church everywhere you go. And I said, I do. I have church whether anybody else shows up or not. Jesus and I, we have church everywhere I go. I want to take you with me, though. What needs to be different? Today, God, what kind of heart do I have? How am I receiving the Word? Am I letting other things get between me and the Word bringing forth fruit in my life? Am I letting the Word have its impact in my life? Amen. You know what? I love you. And you know what? I'm so glad that you love me too. But many of you haven't always loved me. Some of you don't always like me. And it's okay. But God's not going to give up on you. And God's calling you. Right now in your heart. That's what you want, right? Let's pray. God, I want to be one of the few. I'm willing to be one of the few. I want to be one of your few. You show me as an individual what that means. And then help me to walk into it, what you want for my life. I commit them into your hands, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.